I have with me today Mr. Tim Jupp, who is something to do with music and camping. That's probably a bit of an under-exaggeration. But anyway, hello, Tim.
Hi there. It's great to see you today.
Let's go there. A big church festival. So you are rather involved with that one. Just tell us a bit. If no one's heard about you or Big Church, who are you and what is the Big Church Festival?
Well, I'm an old guy who lives on the south coast of England. this crazy festival back in 2009. So we're in our 15th year this year. Cool. And we've been gathering the church together, initially really from the south of England, then it sort of tapped into London, and now really from all over England and the UK people are coming every year. I think we're the largest really ecumenical and evangelistic gathering that happens every year anyway in the UK. We're about 25 to 30,000 people come together. 2 days, like you say, camping, for those who are brave enough. Of course, it's always sunny and warm in the south, you see.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
You've got palm trees down there.
We have, yeah. So, yeah, you know, and Big Church gathers really people from, I guess, a huge broad range of churchmanship, every denomination, every single age. And many people will know the event because it was originally called the Big Church Day Out. We changed it in COVID. In fact, we didn't use the word festival in the early days because I thought if you call something a festival, then people think it's just all music. And then if it's all music, then it's just for young people. And then you end up with a youth event. But, you know, my heart really was to gather the church, and the church, of course, is all ages. And so we kind of dropped the festival name and gave it a cheesy name, Big Church Day Out. Kind of does what it says on the tin, and invite everyone to come together for one big picnic. We do have a lot of music, a lot of worship, and really just showing that, you know, it's possible for everyone with all their different theological positions and their different labels and badges and denominations and everything, just to be together and coexist for a moment in time each year.
It is possible.
It is indeed. Yeah, we proved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it 15 years this year or is it 15 last year? My maths is terrible.
I think it's 15 this year, but of course you kind of knock off two for COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which changed everything, didn't it?
It did indeed. Yeah. And it's a miracle we're still going even after COVID, to be honest.
But I think you must be getting something right. I've not been, it's quite nice. I can't say yes, it's great, because I don't know. This is my first year we'll be attending. And I know people who've spoken of it. I know of it. It's got a reputation, I guess. But I'm looking forward to finding out for myself. And I'm excited about that, because it's music. And I'm kind of a big music fan anyway. But, you know, I think it's great. But you're doing something of bringing Christians together, which doesn't always come off, does it?
No. And the music bit is kind of just the tool for us. It's the vehicle to help gather people, because the heart of it and the vision of it is really around unity and really around evangelism, because we're finding so many people of the church crowd bringing their unchurched mates and family and friends every year. And that's what we really love. So people start to bring their friends more and more and more, and it's kind of low-key evangelism, and it's a great introduction. And I think the main thing is, you know, the clues in the name, the word big, we try and, you know, we want it to be because we want to shock people when they come along and they think every time the church gathers, it's a, you know, it's like a little village green experience of cucumber sandwiches. And then suddenly turn up in a field, various fields, six stages, all ages, all colours, 30,000 people worshipping together. And it's kind of what people don't expect the church to look like, I guess.
Yeah, which is great. As I say, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on, because we love music and it's great. But I think music is quite non-threatening, isn't it? Because you can appreciate the music even if you don't agree with necessarily the theology, because the theology isn't necessarily the thing that's most formal. It's, do I enjoy listening to this? Yes, I do. And that covers everything.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's interesting because I think many people talk about the unity thing, but, you know, we're kind of just a small charity that actually does this. And we're not a movement. We're not a denomination. We're not, you know, I'm a local church guy. My I love local church. My wife, in fact, is the senior leader of our church back home here. And so I'm kind of local church through and through. But I also recognize that there's a huge, vast expression of church, particularly as you go around the world. And I think, you know, one of the things is I think sometimes people can allow their theological positions or doctrinal positions to almost polarize them relationally from the rest of the body. And I think that's a sad thing, because I think not any one of us has got the whole truth on everything. You know, we've all got our different versions of it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have all these little groups and labels and badges that we wear if we all thought exactly the same thing. But I think, yeah, hopefully there's something that, you know, the thing that unites us is our love for Jesus. And that becomes the most important thing. And that and being together can be maybe perhaps for a moment in time more important than all our positions and theology on the other stuff.
Which is really cool. I remember Corrie ten Boom, I read the book, and she talked about in the concentration camp, and there was her, I think there was a Greek Orthodox, there was a Roman Catholic lady, and you have all these kind of collections of different religious expressions of love of Jesus Christ,
yes,
in one little room. She said, that feels like heaven, because it's not your normal church service, but these are people who like God, who love God, who love Jesus, and they're way worshipping together.
Yeah, and it's funny, I mean, you know, obviously, I'm a fan of the event because I'm there. And
I'm glad to hear that.
And I run it. But it is a comment that we've often heard, I guess, particularly from children who come. They'll be like, Mummy, Daddy, you know, is this what heaven's going to be like?
Wow.
Because they're suddenly aware. It's like, well, it's everyone's here. It's like there's every shade of expression and color and age and everything all there together. I was, well, heaven must be a bit like that then, you know, so maybe it's just a tiny glimpse of it.
I think so. That's what I'm looking forward to. Have you got a favorite personal band that you're going to be seeing this year? You're thinking, do you know, I haven't actually seen these guys before live. Is there one that sort of stands out for you?
Oh gosh,
it's a hard question, isn't it?
It's a really hard question, because we've got six stages, we've got about 60-70 artists come. And there's so many different flavors in there. You know, you got the bigger sort of more known worship people like Chris Tomlin's coming, Carrie Job. I love, there's a younger band that we had last year for the first time, Gable Price and Friends. So I love all that. Bring on those bands, you know. And but then yesterday I was listening through some of the singer-songwriters we've got on one of our smaller stages. I think, gosh, some of these people have amazing voices. And then the thing that's really starting to grow at Big Church to get popular is we've got a spoken word stage.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, that's a really special place. That's a thought-provoking, creative place of inspiration. And I'm loving seeing what's happening with that. Probably is a bit of theology sneaks in there from time to time, I imagine.
Yeah. I was thinking about the cucumber sandwich. I do know somebody who, I think the wife was doing training, and he was invited to attend somewhere, and one of the conversations was about the importance of cucumber sandwiches. I honestly thought he was joking, and he had a deadpan face and said, no, this really happened. We were being taught about cucumber sandwiches. And it's like, no.
There you go.
Come on.
I can't say I've ever tried one personally.
No, it doesn't work for me.
No.
Right. Well, we need to go back into Delirious, because that's part of you as well. So just tell us a bit about the band Delirious. Tell about your experience of that and what you were doing in there.
Oh, how long have you got? It could become a mini series.
It's fine. Go as long as you like.
Do that story. So, Delirious started in its original form in 1992. It ended in 2009, 17 years later. In 1996, that five of us in the band gave up our jobs about what we were doing, went full-time, started traveling around the world, and basically went everywhere. In every situation, it felt like. So every expression and denomination of church, from playing with the Pope to playing in rough nightclubs, you know, playing with Bon Jovi in stadiums, to playing in church halls and sort of everything in between. So we did a lot of stuff, and I've got this couple of old passports of mine I found the other day, and it's like looking back on someone else's life, and I can't really imagine it was me, because so many stamps from so many countries around the world. But we had an amazing time and journey, and love what we did, you know, count it as a privilege. But we did a lot of traveling, we were away from home quite a lot. But, you know, I still hear stories today where definitely the music impacted and helped people on their journey of faith. And so that's, you know, I know it was, it, you know, it felt at the time quite a sacrifice doing what you do, but I think we would all look back and think it was worth it, what we did. So the band ended, you know, 2009. Many people might not know the band, but they'll probably know some of the songs, and maybe even still sung them in church these days. And so it's kind of us and the songs traveling together. We were best mates with the songs as we traveled around the world. And then Big Church started in the year that the band ended. So I got my little black book out of all the bands that I've met over the years, mainly playing at festivals in America and different places, people we got to know quite a lot, invited a few people in, started the Big Church really as a one day event, hence the name Big Church Day Out. In 2009, it was just a day, and we had loads, a very hot day. We had terrible problems with traffic. Half the food vendors didn't turn up. We ran out of water. So probably the bravest thing we've ever done with Big Church to do the second year and carry on. And it's almost been one year at a time since then, to be honest.
I love how God took what you were doing and used it for something else. That always blows me away when God takes something that's really bad and makes it good. But if it's something that was good and makes it great, it's really lovely to see. Are you just able to go back and say, do you fancy doing something? I love that.
Yeah, I think where it crosses over a lot is in Delirious, a lot of what we did is we traveled around the world, and often we would be turning up at places where people had a similar vision of gathering the church in whatever country they were living in. And we would be invited to those events, into those situations, and be part of something that gathered the church. I don't know whether that's in Peru or China or Romania, I don't know, anywhere, all over the world where we would have been. And so in some ways, Big Church does that now in the UK for us here. Mine is Delirious.
I understand some small portions of the sacrifice of traveling and touring. You're away from your own bed. You can miss your own toilet. You just want your own space. What do you miss, though, about being with the band, being on the road? Are there the things you think, do you know what? I really miss that.
I probably miss like all the camaraderie with your mates, because we had a lot of laughs. It was good fun. And I miss those moments on stage. Sometimes the moments, those kind of Holy Spirit moments, just some of those crowds that you're in front of, being in front of people who are grateful for what God's done in their lives. So that dynamic of worshiping together with grateful people was really powerful.
Wow.
And the bits I don't miss is traveling at all, jumping on planes and spending, you know, we'd often go to America maybe at least 15 times a year. That's just America. So even that's 30 days on a plane. It's a day there and a day home. So a month of every year just sat on the plane going to America and back doing nothing. Well, say doing nothing, watching a few movies and doing a few emails and probably sleeping most of the rest of it.
And then now we have Big Church. So what's your year look like? I mean, I'm guessing now, because Big Church is becoming much closer, I presume that there's a period after where it's kind of quiet and then it grows much busier. Whereabouts are you on that busy setting at the moment?
Well, for this year, very, very busy. I've been working on the 2025 event since January. All day today, I've been doing emails, work on the 2025 event. So, you know, we haven't even done this year's event yet, and I'm working on the 2025 one. So it doesn't actually really stop, because it take, you know, the event's big, around 30,000 people. We have about 3,000 people at the event working on site. They could be volunteers, they could be production team, they could be people who come with all the charity partners, you know, just a lot of people there. And so it's so big, it takes us about 2 months to wind it down and finish each year's event. That'd be June and July. And by then you're well into the following year. So it doesn't really stop. But, you know, you're right. This next few weeks, we're 5 weeks away currently. That is busy, because everybody else who's coming is suddenly getting interested and wants a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, conversations, well, we could have done that 6 months ago, but no one was interested in chatting back then.
Forward planning.
Yeah, so we have a team of about 20 people who work on it all year long.
Wow.
Throughout the year. So, yeah, so it's a lot of work. Just for 2 days in the field, I say. So I'll often come in the office and I'll be with everyone. Are we really? Is this all really for just 2 days in the field? And it could rain.
It's the UK.
we're busy planning all year long. And the greatest thing that you'd love to plan, you've got no say over, which is the weather.
Mm. It's all good fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the festival's happening. You've done all the work. You've got your teams in place. Things are happening. When do you get some moments just to like look and think, do you know, God's got me doing this. He's working through me. And this is, do you have those moments of, how did God get me here?
I think sometimes, yeah. I think at the end of the days at the event, I'm usually out there in the main arena, seeing what's going on. Cause I love those moments, cause what happens at the event is we had loads of stuff going on all day long and quite a big site. And then everything kind of winds down for the last couple of hours, and it drives everyone together in the main arena. It's real time of worship. That's the big church moment for me. That's kind of when it, so they're the moments I love. And the rest of the time I'm either showing people around the site who visited, or I'm usually trying to tap up people and find donations to pay for it all. Because we lose so much money, it's unbelievable, and it's so challenging to fund the whole thing. Because these events are funded, you know, if you go to any other Greenfield festival, they're just funded by copious amounts of alcohol sales. Mm. And even though, you know, we have a couple of bars on site, it's not a crowd who's going to drink a lot, and neither would we want it to be. But it's a lot of people coming on a cheap ticket, not buying any beer, put it that way. Because of that, you know, we always lose a lot of money. And so we are incredibly reliant and both grateful to some, you know, amazing people who make donations just to keep the whole thing going, really, because they believe in the vision of what it Big Church does and bringing the church together and seeing people saved.
Hmm. Which is phenomenal. And I think anything where there's a music festival, you're gonna gather a wide spectrum of people. But yeah, like you say, it's not, you know, you've got to fly people in from all around the world to come and do stuff, and they've got to be paid for. And it's not just, it's one of those things, isn't it? When you try and say to somebody, can you do this free graphic for me? And it's like, well, it's not just the graphic, it's my time, and it's the computer, it's the training. There's all this stuff that we don't consider. When you're talking about a band, Chris Tomlin doesn't just rock up with a guitar. He has a band and he has people to support him. That's just one act, and they've all got to be paid to get somewhere.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, so you have to pay all those guys. And people think all the cost is bringing all the artists in, but it's actually about 10% of our budget. The rest is building a small village or a small town for all the infrastructure just for 2 days for 30,000 people to come. And it's a lot of poo and a lot of wee.
Yeah.
30,000 people for a couple of days. It's a lot of waste. It's a lot of power, and it's a lot of fuel, and it's a lot of fencing, and it's just a lot of people to put it all together to build it all.
Yeah.
So that the real cost is, you know, you're building a small town with a infrastructure just for a couple of days in fields.
Which is cool. I'm glad that you are, because, I mean, God obviously is honouring what you're doing, because where are we, 15 years on, and you're still going, and you've got tens of thousands of people coming. And I'm guessing as we come further out of COVID, that's going to continue to grow again, God willing. But yeah, God's clearly blessing all the work you're doing.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey, but we take it, we hold it lightly. We do a year at a time. Every year we think we go bust and somehow limp along and carry on. So we're just going as long as we feel like God's gives it permission to keep going, really.
Yeah. It's one of the phrases I have. God keeps on opening doors, I'm going to keep walking through them. What I don't want to ever do is start battering on the walls trying to find the doors.
Right.
Because, yeah, God may well have closed the door, but while he's opening doors, let's keep walking.
Yeah.
That's right. Just by the way, what did you do in Delirious? Is it a band of five? What was your part in that one for people who don't know?
I was the keyboard player.
Good man.
I also kind of managed a lot of the business of what we did. Yeah.
Yeah. You're my favorite because I'm a keyboard player too. And one of the things I liked about Delirious, there was Heartbeat, Sue Rinaldi. And that kind of, I think that changed people's perception.
You're showing your age now.
Oh, I am, very much.
Yeah.
But I remember the cassette tapes coming and Heartbeat really did something to say, it hasn't just got to be a organ hymn. There is another way of worship. And then bands like you guys came along and it really opened people's eyes to, there is a different genre. There is a different approach to worship, which is really amazing. And as a keyboard player who was younger back then, it was amazing to think, you know, there's other ways of doing this. It hasn't got to be a hymn sandwich on a Sunday. And bands like Heartbeat and then Delirious as well really started to, I think, open people's eyes to something new. And that it was those moments when we see, I personally, preteen, used to see the Holy Spirit moving through that, because it was opening people's eyes to something new. And I guess that's something that can happen through big church, isn't it? People are going to get things they didn't know were even possible.
Yeah, that's what we hope for, yeah.
Amen to that. Cool. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate you're busy. I get that completely.
It's great to chat. And we look forward to bump into you in a field.
Indeed. So thank you to them for your time for being such a cool keyboard player. It was good. Right. As a fellow keyboard man. It was good.
Great.
So, thank you. Have a great rest of your day and God bless. Take care. Oh, thanks. What's the website? I forgot about the website. What's the website for Big Church?
Bigchurchfestival.com.
Bigchurchfestival.com. Fairly simple.
Plenty of tickets for sale.
Grab yours now. Yeah. Thank you, Tim, for your time. Have a great rest of your day. Hope you can get everything done.
Thanks. See you.
Pure 24/7 Radio is listener supported, which means we are free, online, and always pure because of the generous support of our listeners. If you would like to contribute financially, please visit pure247radio.org. If you'd like to find out how we use your money, please visit the Our Cost section. Any donation of any size will help keep us on air and broadcasting for free. Thank you.